Well, we're continuing on our series in being ambassadors for Christ and ambassadors for heaven. And of course, it's really a series on a key job role for each of us and ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven. And as we've seen, as we've been looking, we know that the Lord's design is that we become equipped to be better at that, you know, about reaching others with the gospel and knowing what that means, you know, reaching people with the message of reconciliation. And we need to know in the scriptures where that is and have a readiness to explain from the Bible how it is that we are saved. And we've, over the last couple of weeks, been looking at the salvation scriptures, looking at some verses that are very clear on that. And one of our key scriptures is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'll just get that up on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. And it says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. Again, this is a foundational scripture for this series that we're in. And it says, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Great truth, great passage of scripture. And of course, we should just pray and ask the Lord a blessing on the word that we received today. So, Father, we again just thank you for your word, Lord God. And we thank you that where your word is preached, your presence is there, Father. We thank you that the word of God, Lord God, is a revelatory a document, Father God, a revelatory book, Father. Lord God, that it's God-breathed, Father. And as we even read it, Lord God, revelation, knowledge touches hearts. And Father, we pray today, Lord, that our hearts would be again just be moved by your word and the revelation of it, Father. We thank you for revelation, knowledge being imparted today by your Holy Spirit. And we welcome you today, Holy Spirit, for that purpose. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. So in this last couple of weeks, we've looked at some of the indisputable salvation scriptures, enough to see that believing on Jesus is the point of receiving salvation and recognizing, being reconciled to God. You know, this truth was preached by John the Baptist and then, of course, preached by Jesus himself. And then, of course, Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, also taught it. You know, speaking of the process of reconciliation, Paul speaks of the result of his work upon the cross, and Colossians, that letter to Colossians is so good. Once you were alienated from God, talking about our prior condition, and were hostile in your minds because of your evil deeds, verse 22, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy, unblemished, and blameless in his presence. That's so spot on, isn't it? Holy, unblemished and blameless in his presence. If indeed you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved away from the hope of the gospel you have heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under the heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Here's this, you know, very, very clear statement being made there. You know, what an important truth to be tucked in our own hearts, you know, to have very clearly established our righteousness, which God, you know, has established, which means that we're already holy, we're already unblemished, we're already blameless in his presence. It's not something that we're working toward, it's already a done deal, because we received the what? The gift of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:20 talked about it. You know, and let's think about it for a minute. How can we come boldly into God's presence, into his throne of grace in prayer, and if we've still got a sin, carrying a sin consciousness, carrying around that sort of, you know, sense of unworthiness? Church, understand, we have an advocate with the Father. It's not because of what we've done, it's because of what he's done. That we can talk about, you know, that condition of being holy, unblemished, and blameless in his presence. So very important we get a hold of that. You know, we've gone on to see that reconciliation, that condition of righteousness, is received through our believing and our confession. We've seen that. We've recognized that through the word. And of course, we saw that the simple prayer of acceptance that we pray. For me, back in 1983, April 1983, prayed that prayer for the first time and found the Lord came into my life so powerfully. Without a doubt, you know, left me with no I guess you could say, alternative, but to believe that there's a God in heaven and it's the God of the Bible. And of course, on that simple confession, and we looked at it, Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth, that's the word is confess, homologio, which is to say the same word as, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's the salvation message for all of us to receive. You shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Great scripture. One of us, you know, each of us should be able to quote that one off. Remember we said last week that I was going to do a little, you know, assessment for everyone, you know. Okay. So everybody stand. No, I'm only joking. But as ambassadors for Christ representing God's kingdom, we need to know that there are enemies opposed to the purposes of the kingdom of God and God's will being done. We've gone into it in a lot of detail in our Men's Connect, talking about our known enemies. Actually, there's three of them. There's certainly the devil, but there's the world and also the flesh. These are enemies to us in our walk with the Lord, and recognizing how they operate and sometimes even function together and conspiring against the believer, and recognizing what that is. So as ambassadors for Christ representing God's kingdom, we need to know that these enemies are at work, opposed to those purposes of the kingdom of God and God's will being done on earth. Because that's what God's after, is that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, you may have prayed that prayer, you know, the Our Father prayer religiously in the past, but that's a prayer that was straight from the Father's heart through Jesus. You know, that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the biblical narrative of God's plan of redemption for mankind, we see the dark kingdom and those spiritual forces that are for the rebellion against God, and recognizing that there's an enmity that's there. Every time that a person turns their heart to God and makes a confession of belief on him and his work upon the cross, a victory is won, and the kingdom of God is again extended by one heart. And that's how it happens, at one heart at a time. Wow. And in Paul's letter to the Colossians church, we can identify the two opposing sides clearly and the battle that rages for the souls of men. There's a battle going on, and we have to get busy and actually get into the fight as a church, as a people, as individuals. We have to get busy and get into the fight. And you say, well, it's a fight of faith. It's a fight of believing. It's a fight of, you know, praying and using our faith actively to see people around us through our, you know, declarations and our decrees, seeing people come over into victory. And I can't tell you what a delight it was to, again, just hear a testimony of someone, you know, who got saved in this church, you know, not because we knew them or invited them, but just because God worked it. You know, God worked it. And he'll start working it around you as well as we start to, you know, look for that, you know, activity in our lives, and look for the Lord to be at work and pray. We pray every week. We pray through the week that God would be at work in our gatherings, that he would be touching hearts as only he can, and bringing about, you know, that desire to know him closely and that relationship with him. Colossians chapter 1. Got Colossians chapter 1 there, so I'm going on to 1 Peter 5:8, beg your pardon. You know, a lot of Christians don't have a revelation of the battle that is going on around them. Of course, scriptures like this, again, bring it very clearly to us. It says, be sober-minded and alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, standing in your faith and in the knowledge that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same suffering. In other words, that same battle, that same burden is being experienced by brothers and sisters all the way around the world in the church today. Very, very important. And, you know, we ought to be a people that know even and recognize and live out our lives knowing that it's a defeated devil that working against. He's still at work attempting to rob, kill and destroy, though. He's a defeated enemy, but he's still at work trying to do these things. Jesus himself said, John 10:10, he says, I've come that you might have life, you might have it more abundantly, but you know, it's the devil that comes to rob, kill and destroy, and recognizing the difference. The truth is our best defense too. Understand that. The truth is our best defense against the enemy. God wants us to have those eyes that see, and an active faith. And of course, that's with the word, the truth of the word, speaking it out, declaring it in our lives, believing and speaking. That's what it takes to be engaged in the battle that we're all called to, is that lifestyle of both believing and speaking God's word. I just put it this way to you. Spiritual warfare is real. Spiritual warfare is real. And as ambassadors for heaven, there is a fight for each of us to be fighting and to be engaged in. And, you know, let's just remind ourselves that our warfare, though, is not done through the physical realm. It's not through our physical might. But, let's just remind ourselves about that. You know, if it was about physical might, it would be necessary for us to have a gym, you know, where everybody can go and get buff and you know, work on their muscles and work on their general fitness. But, you know, but no, it's not about our physical strength. It's not about those things. You see, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Some of you were mouthing that as I was speaking, and that's a good sign, you know, because the weapons of our warfare, how can we fight if we don't fight with the right thing, you see? So spiritual warfare is real, and we need to be engaged in that activity. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'll just go there too. It says in verse 3-5, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And notice it's very much the, you know, the battleground of the mind comes into it straight away. It says casting down arguments. What are arguments? Untruths. Things that are not right, things that are not correct from, and of course we know that we can judge things via the word and cast down imaginations. It says casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's the lifestyle that we're talking about. That, you know, knowing what the word is, knowing what the word says about a thing, and of course using the truth as our best defense against the lies of the enemy. You know, I guess, you know, it's mighty weapons that we through God, that the church need to become acquainted with, those mighty weapons that we're called to, those weapons that are found through prayer and hearing God's word and receiving his direction, so critically important for all of us. You see, in a time of war, God's people should work together and be armed with an obedience to Christ. You know, part of that obedience would be acting on prayer requests, corporate prayer requests that are sent out, and actually say, could we please all be praying about this? Could we all be praying about that? That's probably one of the minimal things that we can do together as God's army in Broome here, is recognizing that God directs. You know, the captain of our salvation has a few directives to actually bring into our lives and for us to work together toward. You know, this is not sort of rocket science or anything, but obedience is the result of having instruction, isn't it? How do you get to obey? Well, you receive an instruction. Real simple, and nothing real deep there. God's people need to receive their instruction from the Word of God, both written and spoken. And it's true. We talk about, you know, the responsibility as pastors of a local church to be out there, you know, speaking the word and hearing what God is saying to our church and getting everybody moving together and joining our faith together, uniting in faith with regard to things. But I tell you, it's so very important that we as individuals be praying that way around our whole family as well. Just knowing what God is saying and hearing his word and speaking his word, both his written and spoken word, over our lives, decreeing and declaring what he's saying. Look what it says, and I haven't got too long to go, but I've got a few scriptures just out of the passage of 2 Kings chapter 6. It's a great story, and of course it's in regard to Elisha, the prophet. 2 Corinthians 6:8 through to 20. We'll just go through it. It says, now the king of Aram was at war against Israel. And after consulting with his servants, he said, my camp will be in such and such a place. And then the man of God sent word to the king of Israel. Of course, the man of God heard from God. The man of God sent to the word to the king of Israel, be careful passing by this place, for the Arameans are going down there. So in other words, Elijah warns the king of Israel and says, hey, this is where they're going to be, and this is where you know their army is going to be, so avoid it. As you can see here from the map, that the nation of Aram was now in the place what we know as Syria. And of course, Israel is in that location there as well. And of course, the two nations were at war against one another. So here we see in a wartime a weapon through God at work, and a weapon mighty through God. We see the prophetic gift at work through Elijah, that seeing and knowing capacity. I tell you, church, we need to get a hold of the realization that God wants to operate his gifts through us. And of course, not just leadership in the church, but through individually, we can have insights and directions by the Spirit of God. The gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are for us all to operate by as He wills, and recognize it's something that we can press into. But here we have an Old Testament prophet, Elijah. These are available to us. And whether through prayer or daily communion with God or in operation of the spiritual gifts as he wills, it's that level of sons and daughters that we're talking about. Sons and daughters of God pushing on toward what it is that God wants us to be praying and saying. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the same are the sons and daughters of God. So we've got that, that realization there about being led by the Spirit of God. So in the story, the enemy, King of Aram, cannot work out how the King of Israel is constantly one step ahead of his army, avoiding his strongholds, always one step ahead, and begins to think that he's got a spy in his own team who's letting the enemy know, like sending off maybe a pigeon with a little note attached to it that goes and tells the enemy where they're all going. And so we'll see in this next part, it says, so the king of Israel sent out word to the place the man of God had pointed out. Time and again, Elijah warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. For this reason, the king of Aram became enraged and called his servant to demand of them, tell me, which one of you is on the side of the king of Israel? Thinking that he's got a spy there in his camp. But one of the servants replied, no one, my lord, the king, for Elisha the prophet in Israel tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. So the king said, go and see where he is that I may send men to capture him. So he realizes that Elijah is a problem for his, a battle. And on receiving the report, Elisha is in Dothan. The king of Aram sent horses and chariots and a great army, and they went there by night and surrounded the city. Not so good for the city in Dothan. But we'll see something else that Elijah sees. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early in the morning, and the army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city, Dothan, so he asked Elijah, oh my master, what do we do? What are we to do? Do not be afraid, Elijah answered, for those who are with us are more than those that are with him. They're talking about the king of Aram. And then Elijah prayed, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw that the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And if the church needs anything, it's revelation knowledge. It's those insights from heaven. That appreciation of what resources we have available to us. If the church needs anything, it needs its eyes opened. The eyes of our heart being enlightened. Amen? And we need to pray that the Lord will open our eyes and let us see with his eyes. And we say it here a fair bit. It's an appreciation of what sons and daughters, the walk that they have is that, they have the Father's heart, but they see as the Father sees and begin to adopt his heart for the things around them and begin to see what he sees. And it starts with seeing people. It starts with seeing lost people, you know, through the eyes of love, loving people where they are, as we say, the same love with which God loves us. When, you know, we're not to see the unsaved and the unbelieving as the enemy. That's a step for some people to take, actually, to just put down that wall of opposition toward people who are not yet walking with the Lord or not yet believing on him. You know, we need to get to that place where we appreciate that, you know, those people around us are not evil and dirty and rotten and start thinking that way, but rather loved of God just as much as we were before God reached us. But that we have that heart, you know, toward them. You know, that God loves them the same way in which he loved us. And we're to make that adjustment. For some, that's a shift, you know. And you see the world from the perspective of good and evil, and well, we're the good and everybody else is evil, and we just hang around with the good people, and well, we're safe. We've got to get out, we've got to move away from that mentality, church, I tell you. We've actually got to get busy, and busy about the extending the kingdom of God one heart at a time, reaching people where they are. And look what it says in verse 18, next verse along, it says, "And the Aramaeans came down against him, and Elisha prayed to the Lord, 'Please strike these people with blindness.' So he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. And Elisha told them, 'This is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will take you to the man you are seeking.' And he led them to Samaria. And when they entered Samaria, Elijah said, 'O Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see.' And then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked around and discovered that they were in Samaria." You know, and our prayer is that the Lord will open eyes. You know, we even sing the song, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord." But we would pray that the Lord would open people's eyes so that they might see the light of the glorious gospel. And our prayer would be that they would come in contact with people through the week, you know, through our day, through our a week that we have in between church, and that we would be those people that would actually have an impact on them to see those eyes being opened and those hearts being opened up to the gospel. That needs to be the cry of our hearts, and that God would open their eyes, open it to the truth of the gospel, of this new life that we have and that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. That's a job for all of us. It's not something that we can leave for others to do, for the ones that are just a bit bolder than us. That's something that we're all called to be active in doing. And you know, you say, well, where do I start? Just start by having a personal relationship with the Lord. Start right there in that place where, you know, you connect with him on a daily basis, because it won't be long when you do that he'll be leading you and guiding you and showing you how to reach someone else around you, whether it be family members, whether it be, you know, connected family members and you know, those that are not so close. But the Lord will start to show you, start getting you praying for those around you, maybe a work colleague or someone that you've bumped into. But it's quite amazing, once you start drawing near to him, you start to get his heart for others. And you know, we start then getting our eyes off ourselves and start getting our eyes onto others. Amen? And you know, God wants us all blessed, there's no question about it. God wants each and every single one of us blessed, but I tell you, he wants us blessed so we can be a blessing. And I am just to encourage you with that today. And, you know, we're going to close now and, of course, break and have a bit of fellowship and some morning tea. But we ought to, just before we finish, just ask ourselves the question, you know, individually. There's some things said today, and, of course, we've prayed about the prayer of acceptance. If you haven't prayed that prayer of acceptance, if you haven't prayed the prayer of salvation ever before, I just want you to know there's an opportunity this morning to pray that prayer. That's the starting point. That's the part where we actually come out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And I really want to encourage you, if you haven't prayed that prayer before, today's your day. Today's your day to pray that prayer. And I encourage you to come on down the front after we sing this song. And we'd really love to pray with you and actually lead you to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But other, you know, church, as we finish this song and we go about our business, let's make that heartfelt commitment. Let's do that. Why don't we all just stand to our feet and we'll just pray a fresh commitment this morning. Hallelujah, Father, we do. We just again thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to gather together, to pray together, Lord, to believe together, Lord. Father, we thank you for just that fresh heartfelt commitment to draw nearer to you on a daily basis, to come closer to you in our prayer lives, Father. Lord, to be mindful of those around us, Lord, that still don't yet know you in a saving faith, Father. Have a saving faith toward you, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would, in our consecration to you through the week, in those times of prayer, Lord, that you would equip us, that we might be about seeing what you're doing and working with you, not just for you, Lord. Lord, we pray the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives to lead us and guide us and anoint us, Father, for evangelism, for reaching out to others, Lord. We pray that today for our lives. We ask your blessing on it, Lord. Lord, help us see that there's a kingdom that needs to be extended, Lord. Help us to see that we need to be about that, no matter where we are, Lord. And we at least need to be prayerful about it, Father. So we ask this a fresh commitment today, Lord, that you would bless it, that we'd see your hand of blessing around us, Lord, on those that we speak to and reach out to. And we ask it today in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. Why don't we just go out for this song?